y'all feeling blessed already?
Yes.
I hope that you do, because you are. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to come to you, amen, from the book of Luke, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at chapter number, amen, 24. Hallelujah. If you was with us on yesterday, amen, you know that the theme of our weekend, amen, is a future and a hope. And yesterday I tried my best to express to you those that were there with the Lord and put in my spirit about your future. And at some point I asked you, amen, what was your purpose? Well, today, amen, we're going to continue along that theme, except we're going to add a little fire to it. Amen.
Amen.
Because today I want to talk to you about igniting, amen, your hope. It's one thing to have hope. It's one thing to think about hope and to hope, quote unquote, for hope. But what I want to talk to you today about is about igniting that hope. Maybe putting some action, amen, to what you say you hope for. Hallelujah. But sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Luke chapter 24. We'll pick it up, amen, in verse number 13. Amen. Jesus has already been crucified on the cross. Let's go forward. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together, all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Let me stop right there. Sometimes you can be going through a situation and a circumstance, and you cannot even recognize that the Lord is right there.
Amen.
Verse 16, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are saying? Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened before in these days? And he said to them, what things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and other rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And I'm starting at verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. You may be seated. Amen. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, come by your soul, God, to speak according to your heart, your mind, your spirit. Father, that I speak not according to my own thoughts, but that you will. Anoint these lips to clay. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. What's the setup? Jesus has been crucified. It's been 3 days. Hallelujah. You go to the beginning of this chapter, amen, you'll find, amen, that Mary has already went to the tomb. Amen. And she has discovered that Jesus is not there. The angels relay to her and said, he is not here. He that was here has risen. But these men on the road to Emmaus don't know that. They're still walking and believing in the fact that their natural eyes have shown them that Jesus, who they had put their hope in, has been crucified and is now dead. And what did it say? It says, verse 21, and we were hoping. They put all their hope into this Jesus of Nazareth. Now I want you to hear me clearly. They put their hope in Jesus of Nazareth. I'm explaining what I'm saying if you don't get it. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem it. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things have happened. You know, sometimes we put our hope in the wrong place. See, they put their hope in Jesus of Nazareth. But the scripture didn't say that they had put their hope in Jesus, the Son of God. See, Israel was looking for a human savior. They were looking for a human king, hallelujah, to come and help them overthrow the Romans in their country, amen. And they began to put their hope in Jesus from Nazareth, because the Bible tells us where the thousands were just following him wherever he showed up, amen. Many would just show up where they were, because they were listening. And yeah, they were getting healed, they were getting saved, but men of their minds, amen, they would say, he's the one that's going to lead the army. He's the one that's going to bring us victory over the Romans. And so when he died on the cross, this man on the road to Emmaus said, what? We were hoping that he was the one. They had given up. They had got discouraged. They allowed their circumstances in the natural to dictate what God was doing in the spirit. Help somebody. There's not anything. There's not anything worse than having a dream and seeing it fall apart. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. You had visions, amen, that God was going to do this wonderful, awesome thing in your life. Maybe that has nothing to do with ministry, but that God was just going to do something awesome. You really believe it's going to come back. You've been putting your faith and your trust towards that dream that you believe God had given you. But in life, circumstances happen. Things transpire, amen, that will come against your dream. Because see, the devil don't want you to have no victory.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
He don't want you to have any hope. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to understand, amen, that in the obstacles of life, amen, you can still get victory. So therefore, when your dream is coming forth in you and God is trying to lead you in the way that's going to be successful for your dream, the enemy is going to come along, amen, going to bring some naysayers and say, how are you going to believe that? You ain't even go to school for that. How are you going to do that? You're not qualified. Well, you know, they don't get jobs like that to people that look like you. Well, now all the clothes you got, you can't dress like that. That ain't going to work for you. Girl, you too big. You too little. The enemy's always going to come and try to destroy your dream. In the church or outside the church. The problem is, amen, is that the Lord is walking on all sides. While the enemy's talking in one ear, you can't do this, you can't do this. The Lord is saying, I got you. Oh, you can't do it. Yes, you can. Hold on to my hand. Keep your hand in my hand. But you do that. This one was one of these men. And me, the Lord was walking right there with him. How you gonna do it? We're so discouraged. Why? We don't know what happened at Jerusalem. Nothing worse than a dream being destroyed. I'm reminded, amen, of Reverend King. A lot of folks refer to him as doctor because he did have a doctorate. I'm funny about that. I like to refer to him as Reverend King. Because in this cynical world that we live in, they hate to acknowledge anything of Christ. Mm-hmm. Anything of the Lord. So we can't say Reverend. He was going to say, we're going to get a Christian real quick. Dr. King, because that's more prestigious. I'm not against that. But I'm just saying I prefer in this case to refer to Reverend.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. And you all know he said he had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
It goes something like this. And he gave that speech, and maybe you might not know, I'm a history buff, you might not know this. That speech that he gave, he wrote it in that book. Matter of fact, he wrote it while he was on the platform. He just scribbled it down.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. gotten. He was standing there next. Amen. I can't remember her name. She told me, she said, you ready? He said, yeah. He said, what you mean? I'm not sure yet. He showed her a piece of paper. She said, uh-huh. Say that. Uh-huh. Say that. Mm-hmm. See, God can give you something just like that. Yeah. So he stands up here and he said this. Some of you may know this, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's going to help me make the point the Lord wants us to hear today. He said, amen. Hallelujah. He said that he gave the most powerful speech about a dream that could ever be given. He says, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out true meaning, the true meaning of his creed. He said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. He says, I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, amen, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. He went on to say, he said, I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state of sweltering, amen, with heat of injustice, sweltering, amen, with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. He said, I have a dream. I have a dream, amen, that my four little children one day will live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their heart. Amen, excuse me, content of their character. I have a dream. We know that after he gave this speech, a few months later he was killed. See, the devil thought by killing that man, he would kill the church. The devil thought by taking out Reverend King, amen, the dream would stop. But see, when God gives you something, amen, hallelujah, no matter what the devil does to try to hinder you, try to stop you, try to do any way to keep you from doing what God has called you to do, no matter what the devil brings, God will always move that dream forward. So we know the rest of the story, amen. Hallelujah. It was achieved. Amen. Civil rights movement did what God intended, amen. Hallelujah. But now it's up to us as men and women to live it out.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The point I want to make here, amen, is that the devil can't kill your dream. He might stop you individually. But if the dream is from the Lord, no matter what, the dream is going forward. These men on the road to Emmaus, they thought that because Jesus had been crucified, amen, that the dream that they were praying for, hoping for, the freedom for Israel was dead. In their limited understanding, amen, they were looking at the fact, amen, that they were only looking at the physical redemption. They were looking at the fact that, amen, Israel's going to be free, but Jesus came not just for that, but he came that you and I could be free from sin. He came to you and I to be delivered from the shackles of Satan. He came, amen, you had me caught up in the addiction of sex, addiction of drugs, addiction of alcohol. He came, amen, to set each and every one of us free. And though the devil, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm going to slow myself down, though the devil thought he had won on the cross, what he really did was set us up for victory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't there yet. We're going to get there. So what is hope? Come on, igniting hope. What is hope? Hope is a confident expectation of good. Remember what I told you yesterday about hope? Mm-hmm. Hope is a confident expectation of good. Hope is the anticipation of victory even when it looks like you're defeated. Hope is that fuel that takes us from today into tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hope is the sentiment, amen, that ties us to the future just as our memories ties us to the past. Mm-hmm. See, the five of us right here, we got some memories in the past. Mm-hmm. We grew up in a ministry, amen, in a church, amen. We had a ministry, amen, that was, whoo, I'm going to tell on y'all. I'm going to tell on y'all. Everything I done this morning, you know they got that in? I ain't gonna say nothing. that's what you were doing?
I was asking what we did.
Oh, what y'all did? Let me see. Let's do our confession. Thanks. You don't remember that, huh?
I don't remember that.
And all I'm saying about that, amen, I'm just showing you the legacy.
Right.
See, because of that memory, they were able to take from that memory and come here and do what God is calling them to. And when many of you that are called in the ministry leave this place, or maybe not even ministry, leave this place, you're going to take the memory of what God is imparting you through your pastors here to the next destination that God has on you. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to point it out. Right. Please don't take it like that.
Right.
But it just, it says not just amen, the memory of yesterday, but hope is also expectation for tomorrow.
Amen.
That's why we're all here. That's why those of us that have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's why we're saved, because we have an expectation of tomorrow. We don't know when tomorrow is going to show up. See, in the biblical text, tomorrow is not the next 24 hours. Tomorrow could be right now. Because the Bible says concerning our evolutionary, our eternal tomorrow, amen, is that in the twinkling of an eye. So while we're right here in service, tomorrow could come. And that tomorrow means that we're going to be changed to be just like Him. That's why I said yesterday and I said it again here today, you can't be getting ready. You got to be ready. Hope. Hope is the blessed assurance that everything is going to be all right. In the midst of everything that you're going through, amen. Yes, it's terrible, it's tough, and it's hard, and all those things, amen. But I got hope, amen, in Christ Jesus. So therefore, all things are going to work to the good to me. Because I love God according to His purpose, amen. So it's going to work out. Your hope is ignited, amen, when you understand and believe that the hope of God is sovereign over all things. See, it might look like your boss got everything under control. And he can dictate this, that, and the other. Because all you got to do is get on your prayer call. Get up under it, wherever that may be. And give it to the Lord.
That's right.
And you'll be amazed at how that attitude and that boss just changed. They might not still want to like you. They might not even want to do for you what you want done. But they're going to have to do it because God said, take care of my daughter. Take care of my son. And they might even confess it. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Hope is a blessing, sure that everything is going to be all right. Hope is ignited, amen. You understand that Jehovah God is in charge of everything. I like what, now I'm going to just say it. I like what Minister Michael was saying. He said, I've been on both sides of the track.
Come on now.
So what he's telling you, I ain't telling you what I heard.
Come on now.
I'm telling you what I believe.
Yes.
And I found out there was a side of the track I don't ever want to go back to.
Come on now.
And there's a side of the track I don't ever want to let go of.
Yeah.
Talk about hope. How much time do I have? Thank you, Lord. I didn't get any time. I thought you get this good time. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be here, be up here forever, but I'm going to make sure that I do what God told me to do.
Amen.
See, all we need, amen, is just a little bit of hope. The Bible says faith is like a mustard seed. And if you don't know anything about that, amen, you know, mustard seed is very small. Very, very small. But if you plant it in the ground and allow it to grow, it becomes one of the biggest trees you have ever seen. But it starts out with a little bitty old seed. So the Lord says the same thing about hope. You ain't got to go get a bucket of hope. You don't have to go get a house full of hope. Just a little bit of hope. And the Lord said, I'll do the rest. Remember sir, in the Bible of the widow woman? Amen. All she had was just a little bit of oil and some flour. She said, well, she told the prophet, she said, well, you know, this is all we got. And you know, starvation in the land, there's nothing I can get. My husband's digging out. We'll just going to eat this little bit. I got nothing but one little thing. We're going to make this. We're going to eat it. And then we're going to die. But hope showed up at her door. See, hope won't be.
Yeah.
It's just what you got. Well, I just told you, man. God, I just got this little bit of oil, this little bit of water. Well, okay. Well, go ahead and make that cake and give it to me. Excuse me. See, just like a preacher, I always want to give him something. God don't mind y'all laughing at church. The Bible says, amen, that she obeyed the man of God, the prophet, amen, and she took that all, amen, and she made a cake, amen. He ate. Then he told her why he was in. He said, while I'm eating this, run around to your neighbors.
Come on now.
Amen. And get out of here, your pots and pans you can find.
Yeah.
You don't read anywhere in the Bible says. She said, do what? She got obedient to the word.
Yeah. Mm.
See, she was looking for some hope. She saw something in giving this little last meal to this man of God, this servant of the Lord. Something in her said, you know something? I feel like I might not have to die today. I don't know, but I'm going to obey what the voice of the Lord is saying through this man of God, and I'm going to go to my neighbors. Hey, can I get any empty pans and pots you got? And the Bible says she went to all of her neighbors and got all the empty pans and pots she could get. The man of God prayed over what she thought was an empty.
Come on.
All spot. See, sometimes you think this stuff is empty. You think you didn't gain all you can gain. You didn't did all you can do. Amen. You're exhausted in the natural. You're exhausted in the spirit. Says God, I can't do nothing else. But you just need a little bit of hope. You know the rest of the story. The Bible says, amen. He told her, fill up the pot over there. Filled it up. And it kept on. So she had to move to the next spot. Oh, that's full too.
Come on now.
See, all you got to do is just trust God. So all you got to do is believe that. You don't have to know how it's going to be done. You don't have to understand how God is going to do it. But all you got to do is have a little bit of hope that God is who he said he is. And God would do what he said he would do. Just a little bit of hope. And the Bible says, amen, that she filled up all the pots, had so much that she was able to pay all her bills, amen, and she was sustained until the drought was over.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's the kind of hope I want. That's the kind of hope I want.
Yeah.
I want the kind of hope, amen, that you can be that I have right now and take you through so I get you to the top.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil discourage you. Your circumstances so bad you're gonna bust hell wide open. Yeah, you're right if I stay here. But I'm gonna get on the road of hope. So these young men, I don't know if they were young enough, but these men are hallelujah on this road to Emmaus. Hallelujah, they done lost hope. They're wondering what's gonna happen. Amen. The wonder, amen, is Israel going to be delivered? But I kept on reading, hallelujah, about this thing called hope. And what I found out, amen, as I read through the scriptures, it says something like this. Hope is a lame man, understand me, on his way to see Jesus. Go hang out with the disciples. But you heard me say he was a lame man. But he told his friends, he said, when I come back, we will go for a walk.
Come on,
I'm talking about hope. Hope is a blind man going to meet Jesus. He told his family, amen. He said, I'm going to see Jesus, amen. But when I come back, I will see you.
Come on,
talking about hope. Amen. Hope filled the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Hope is not here. Amen. He has risen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
All human history, everything we know, amen, pointed to the day that Jesus was on the cross. See, everything before then and everything after then was pointing to this time in history, amen, when Jesus is hanging on that cross. You can kind of say he was at a crossroads. See, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his humanity said, I don't want to do this. His humanity said, because see, the spirit man in him knew what was coming. And the physical man, the human part of him was like, but see, Jesus had some hope in him. And his hope was, amen, that the Father is truly who he said he is. And so he said in that Garden of Gethsemane, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When he gets to the cross, amen, amen, he's at a crossroads once again. And he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, he could have went to the other side. He could have said, you know something? I changed my mind. I don't think I want to do this. I'm done with this. And he could have called down 1,000 million angels. But he wanted to leave us with some hope. You want us to know, amen, I know you think the devil got you. But when I get up from this cross, out of this grave, you don't have the victory. Somebody ain't hearing me. You need to understand myself, my daughter. And when I got up on that grave, that was wrong. Because I was never intended to die in the first place. When I got up on that grave, you got up with me. They saw was with their natural eyes. Many times we today, we only see the world through the natural vision that God has given us. And how many of you understand that you're not just a natural being? You're also spiritual.
Yeah.
And God allowed us to be born on this earth with just enough of him that we could recognize who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about hope. See, I'm trying to push you out of doubt.
Yeah.
I'm trying to push you out of worry.
Yeah.
Trying to push you out of, well, I don't know, and I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you out of that place and into the place of victory. See, the place of victory says you can dance.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody else around you is crying and sad about your circumstance, you dance.
Yeah.
Everybody else around you said, oh my God, how are they going to make it? You clap your hands. And if it's all the stuff that's going on in your life that you don't want going on in your life because you have hope.
Thank you,
Mama.
Thank you.
Hope is a dumb man who went to Jesus. Before leaving home, he used the sign language. Telling his mother, I'm going to Jesus, and when I come back, I'll talk to you.
All right.
We have to understand, amen. The life that we're living today, in this very moment of time, I'm talking about right now, when we're in the midst of this building, in the midst of this awesome ministry, man, where we're right now in this life today, I don't care. I got to keep pounding it until somebody gets it. It makes no difference what the devil has said. It makes no difference what the devil is doing. It makes no difference where you come from or what you've been through or what you did on last night, what you did this morning. It makes no difference. If you have your hope in Christ Jesus, he can turn that thing around. If you have your hope in Christ Jesus, the Bible said he can set you the captives. It says in the word of God, so I don't like to preach about me, because me ain't got nothing for you. But I like to preach about him, because he has all the answers.
Yeah.
If you listen to him, he answers every question, he knows every chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, God.
Come on.
do to your testimony.
Come on.
Before I was able to stand in this pulpit and get the title that the Lord allowed me to have, amen, and to preach and teach His word and all those awesome things, amen, I used to be a whore.
Come on now.
And before that, and lower that, I used to be a big old drunk. Uh-huh. Oh, a little bit like, oh, I love my alcohol, amen.
Uh-huh.
I made a joke yesterday. Shared a little funny thing with the folks, amen, said, my wife's job, co-worker said something, and I, you know, it was us at then, it was okay. But I had said to the those who were together yesterday, I said, well, I always went back to 1978.
Mm-hmm.
See, in 1978, there was a big secret for Christ. I wasn't saved then.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1978, I was riding around with my best friend, Gerald Johnson. We thought we had it going on. But every once in a while, we might get into a little, And so every once in a while, I would carry me a piece of metal that had a hole in front of it and make stuff come out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I would have the grip because I'm a little big guy. Yeah. Not that big around. So. But I thought it was like this. I thought I was like him. But I wasn't stupid enough to actually know. I wasn't so stupid I didn't know I was like him. So I carried me a little piece. Then once in a while, with my boy Daryl, I pulled that thing out, put it up against somebody's head. I thank the Lord on my belly. Why are you telling us that? Because if God was saved, He would heal me.
Yeah.
He would deliver me.
Yeah.
He would call me.
Yeah.
And He would anoint me. And He would give me a ministry.
Yeah.
Give me a church.
Yeah.
Give me an awesome, wonderful, beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Give me two children and two grandchildren. If God would do all of that for me, I know darn well He'll do it for you. But the God says, but the Lord taught me years ago, and let's get what you put down there, but listen to me. We have to understand, amen. Hallelujah. That all of our hopes, all of our dreams are wrapped up in Jesus. When you're defeated, you're not defeated. As long as you got Jesus. See, Romans. The devil thought Jesus was defeated. To this day, there are people who read the Bible, they think Jesus was defeated. He, to them, He is not the Son of God. He wasn't God Himself manifested on earth in human form, amen. He wasn't the God, amen, that while they were questioning Him up on the cross, He was holding the universe in His hand. He, to them, He was not the God, amen, that gave us the air to breathe while He was going to stop breathing. Amen. To them, He was not the God, amen, hallelujah, that when they wanted to break His legs, they didn't. They wanted to break His legs, amen. He was wanting to give them the ability to walk in the anointing. That wasn't the God that they saw. Why? Because they didn't have no hope. And thank you, Lord. Even in the church, we they carry the title of minister, evangelist, bishop, whatever the title is. But you know, sometimes we get discouraged. Pastors, they get discouraged too. Jesus' disciples, those mighty men of God that today we call the apostles. The ones that we read about it, okay? John, Peter, they were men just like you and I.
Yeah.
And when Jesus went to the cross and died, you know what they did? You know Jesus? I don't know who you're talking about, man.
Yeah.
They got out of town. You just making that a picture now? I'm not making it up. You're trying to be dramatic? No, I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to make a point. The Lord wants to see something here. lets us know, amen, hallelujah, that when he went to the cross, we know that he said, amen, while his mother, Mary, was watching her son. Yeah, she knows that he's the anointed one, but she also a mom. That's my baby. I gave birth to that man. She's standing there, you know, so many times we see the movies, the Sunday movie. Nah, she probably bawling and crying just like getting my movie. She probably said, how did they do this to my baby? He never hurt anybody. Why did they do that? You don't think Jesus in his humanity was looking at his mama more? No. He had tears in his heart too. Yeah, I'm her God, but that's my mama. So what happens? Talking about hope, right? What happens? While Mary is standing there, I believe a little hope died in her. Just a little bit of hope died. Amen. She saw her son beat and whipped and hung on the cross. Jesus is agonizing in pain. But then the heart of God comes through. He says, my God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And he said, wait a minute, what's the heart of God? See, Jesus in humanity is broken. But the spirit man was on the inside. Hope was in there saying, I got you, Jesus. Don't worry about it. I got you. Mm-hmm. He said that he hung his head and died. All of Jerusalem, the believers, the men, the holy men say, we had hope. You ever been through something that you thought you was almost there for the victory, and just right when you thought you were going to cross over in the victory, bam! Something happened. You're like, I can't. The Bible says his disciples ran away and hid. The Bible tells us, amen, they hid because they lost all hope. Why? Because their plans for greatness, amen. See, even at that point, they still saw Jesus. They thought there was going to be some great military leader. And so they ran. They were afraid, amen. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, amen, the sun darkened and became dark. And the world went through an earthquake. It says that at the temple, amen, hallelujah, that the veil was split, amen, from the top down. It's important that you understand it was split from the top down. Versus me and Michael grabbing one end and turning from the bottom up. Why? Because hope was opened up to us at that point. See, at that point, amen, God himself ripped that veil. He removed that barrier between him and us. Hallelujah. See, when Jesus died on that cross, amen, hope became alive. Hallelujah. When Jesus died on that cross, amen, his body laid down, but the spirit rose up. Hallelujah. And on that day, amen, hope began to say, hallelujah, I am alive, I am free, I am here, and I'm here for you. Says darkness covered the earth. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, amen, that they put him in this tomb. And they didn't just put him in the tomb. They rolled a stone there, amen. They put guards by it because they had heard, amen, the Pharisees and witnesses said, hey, you know, he been telling folks he might rise up the third day. So we're not sure, but just to make sure, put some guards around him. You know the rest of the story, right?